Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Mike Vrabel will speak to the media in 15 minutes, so we will carry that live and in its entirety. But Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, is with us now. Hutton, we were just talking about that tough Cleveland defense between Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith up front. And how, in your opinion, are the Titans going to move the ball against the Browns?
Well, it starts, I think, with the run game, but also first down. And that sounds very simple. But the Titans are averaging 8.1 yards per play on first down. That is the best in the NFL. And when you look at what they're doing on running with the running backs on first down, Henry 19 for 77, Spears 7 for 61, and when they're averaging 5.7 yards per first down with those backs. So I look at this for the purposes of just staying in front of the sticks and not going back to what the discussion with Willie on Tannehill, not just letting the Browns defense tee off. Now, the Browns run defense is excellent, just like Tennessee. So this is just the war of, are we going to see the Titans offensive line take another big step forward? Or is this just the grind of New Orleans, where you have to make the other offense a field goal offense as well? And that might well be the case, despite what they're missing. I look at the consistency of what this team has done and think, Can they roll it forward instead of just stay steady? Because they have to be better than what they were even against the Chargers, especially with the start. And, shout out to what we saw from the running backs, because this plays a factor on first down. The Titans have utilized two running backs in a competitive game just two times since 2019. And with their week 2 performance, made the third. It was unlike those other two examples because Henry and Spears were used with a purpose and intent against L.A., both produced, each with at least 8 carries. Of course, Henry with much more. Each had 2 or more catches. Each produced over 50 yards for the offense. And it was apparent from the first 2 days of practice that they had an intent for drafting Tajay Spears. And we saw much more of that roll out. With their matchup against Los Angeles. And I think he could be utilized more, and Henry can still get his as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of those people that I thought, what are you doing drafting a running back in the third round? Turns out they probably had a much better plan than I did around draft time. But along those lines, what do you think is the right balance between Spears and Henry?
I think what we saw Sunday, more than what we saw week one against New Orleans. And I think Tim Kelly acknowledged that in the week leading up to kickoff at home. They want to make sure Henry stays the lead dog. We see whenever that happens that Tannehill can feast off of that. That also helps a receiving core that is not as quick, that is not getting out of their breaks like we would see other offenses do. Have time to get open because you have to respect what Henry's doing and what, by the way, what Spears is doing too. I like when both are on the field. I think that's the right split, and then let those plays build off of one another as the game progresses. The threat of Derrick Henry is more than just whenever he's on the field, he's running the football and he's gaining yards. Whenever he's on the field, you have to respect the backfield, and Spears can do more in the passing game, more quick, I hate to use the word, but gadget plays. They're not gadget plays. They're a part of the offense now for him. But Henry needs to be Henry, and he still can be. He's coming off of the strong season a year ago, and I think that also allows the offensive line to continue the progression of what we've seen the first 2 weeks.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And Hutt, how concerned are you with Harold Landry right now? Are you optimistic that it'll get better the more he plays?
Yes, I think so. Yes. This start reminds me of the start to the season where he had 12 sacks. I mean, he was that entire defensive line was slow to like it took 3 or 4 weeks and then they just took off as a group. And I think in this case, the group is there and Landry's coming back into the mix as well. I thought the sack at the end of the game was huge to force the field goal, of course, but because it was him.
Yeah.
Too. I mean,
just from a confidence boost, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, he's been grinding and battling, and, you know, he's used to playing 90%+ of the snaps in a full season. And, you know, I think he's getting back into that Landry mode that we saw. Everybody responds differently to the ACL recovery. And it's tough whenever you're not playing that much in the preseason because you're coming back from this. Regardless of how long it's been, you want to get your game legs back, so to speak. And, you know, there's a trust factor there, too. And he's a player that came into the league as he had a nice bend, you know, the motorcycle lean, as they call it. And he's added more to it, to his pass rush ability. And I think he's trying to put all that together as they start the year.
I see this around the league a lot, and I think the Titans would fall into this category. The trend for the best way to defend in the league right now against all of these high-tech modern offenses is you rush with four, you drop everybody back, and you contain explosive plays. I think Shane Bowen is buying into this, and for them to be a great defense, they've got to get the excellent pass rush consistently with four guys. I think we know they are covered up the middle with Simmons, Tart, Autry, if he's there, and they choose to put him in the middle. The key to me, Hutt, is do they get the edge? And that is where Landry's recovery is huge. Key on the other side, that's an important one. And then, you know, somebody else in there. But to me, that's the question mark, is are they going to get the edge push, take advantage of some of the matchups that Jeffrey Simmons and those guys afford you? You're not going to get doubled on the outside there. If you beat one guy, you got a chance to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, you nailed it, because I was going to mention, you know, Simmons is kind of keying all that with the attention paid to him. Landry, if he comes on and hits that stride that we saw, that's massive too. But Dedeco Autry is the movable piece that can play multiple spots. And let's also throw in the group with the, you know, they've got Gibson, they've got some pieces beneath them, but Rashad Weaver is someone behind key. We need to see in the limited snaps more in those snaps to get to the backfield. They are routinely around the QB, though. And in the case of Deshaun Watson this week, they can collapse the pocket, but they also need to have him step up in the pocket, and that's where they can really put him on the ground instead of letting him get outside with his legs and make something happen on the move, including with his rush attempts. So this is a different type of pass rush around him compared to what we saw with Herbert, where he wasn't just throwing off one back foot. He was throwing off two back feet at times late in the fourth quarter.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow, is with us. Hutton, you bring up Deshaun, and yes, he does present that escapability that maybe Justin Herbert doesn't have as much of But, Hutton, I've been so unimpressed with what I have seen from Deshaun Watson in a Browns uniform.
Eight starts now, 11 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions. It's the different version of Deshaun Watson than what we saw the last time he put a Texans uniform on, where he was top 4, top 5 quarterback in the league with just production, talent. And the players around him. Let's also throw that in there.
Yeah.
That counts in his favor. This is I'll be brief here because I know you got Vrabel coming up. This is Anthony Richardson is very high ceiling, very low floor as a prospect at quarterback. I view the Browns in the same way this year. Very high ceiling, very high ceiling. AFC caliber ceiling, talent wise across the board. Now Chubb's injury factors into that statement now, but the lowest floor, because of expectations on the quarterback and the talent around him, Amari Cooper and others, and, of course, that defense that is going to be gunning for the top defense in the NFL with the likes of San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and Dallas. And I put Tennessee in there, too, because they are stout in the front seven, and that keys all the disruption against some power offenses. This is this is Deshaun's offense now. They can't point to Stefanski wanting to run it 70% of the time. And now the Titans have an opportunity. They didn't have to face Alvin Kamara. They did not have to face Austin Eckler. Now they don't have to face Nick Chubb. Who knows about Burrow next week? But now they just need to shut down Deshaun Watson, who hasn't been good in some key moments, home or away.
And, you know, the good thing for the Browns is if it doesn't work out with Deshaun, they can easily move on from him. It's not like they've got a whole lot invested into him or anything. And you're the best. Appreciate you for smile. We'll chat next week.
His contract makes me think that Mahomes is still underpaid. Still underpaid, despite the boost in pay.
Totally.
Guys, always enjoy this. And I'll be listening to Vrabel here in a couple of minutes.
Awesome. Appreciate you, Hutton. We will chat with Jonathan Hutton next Wednesday as well. But as Hutton mentioned, we will head to Mike Vrabel coming up next. We'll speak with the media at the podium. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and Family Leisure. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Mike Vrabel is up at the podium at St. Thomas Sports Park. We'll send it over to him now.
Is, you know, week to week, how much carryover or building can they do off of that, maybe particularly Ryan?
Well, I mean, I think every week is different, but I think that there's certainly a lot of positives from that in the rhythm and the efficiency and, you know, allowing plays to complement each other. So, I mean, that would be great. I'm all for production sooner rather than later.
Is there a cap on play action, like, point at which you say too much is diminishing returns? You did really well with what you did, but you didn't do a great deal.
Well, I think it's about timing and picking and choosing your spots and, you know, getting a rhythm and a feel for, you know, when pressure, you know, may come. Sometimes some of those run actions, you know, the protection could be stressed based on a pressure or look that you get. So sometimes we get out of it, but you know, I don't think that there's a cap. You know, you just want to be, you know, balanced and be able to pick and choose your spots, and we, you know, were able to hit a couple of them the other day.
With those play action throws, your numbers passing wise always go up. Is there something to that?
Well, it's hard to drop back and, you know, just straight drop back in this league and protect against some of the rushers that we've seen early in the first couple weeks, and that'll be the same this week, you know. So staying out of those down and distances where, you know, you got to get a bunch of people out or you got to get a certain depth. So I think that's probably the case throughout the week, you know, just looking at Cleveland, that's something that they like to do, you know, with Deshaun, you know, play action, sometimes move the pocket. So yeah, just trying to mix it up and trying to be able to create some double teams inside or some combination blocks on some of those interior guys, and then, you know, get a couple hands on the edge rushers.
You were positioned to cover a lot of those as a player. What's kind of outside of the discipline that it requires to What makes it hard?
Well, a successful run game. You know, you're trying to create spaces. You're trying to get guys into areas and voids of the football field. You know, and if you can't get the linebackers up, well, then you probably shouldn't throw the ball, you know, inside, you know, around the hashes. Or, you know, maybe we had a favorable, you know, look last week, trailing one, and Chris won, and we were able to throw the ball downfield. I think that they're, you know, they commit to running football, to strengthen their football team is up front, I would say, on both sides of football. Not that they don't have good skill players or good linebackers or DBs, but as far as two units, two really good fronts, offensive line that's played together for, you know, for a while. I know they're mixing, you know, moved, you know, Ethan in there, and then obviously Jones. But you know, they've run the football forever, consistently. I know, you know, the Chubb's got a lot to do with that, but so did this offensive line. They hit a couple big runs in Pittsburgh. You know, Cooper is able to create and joke. They use all the tight ends, and then, you know, the Moore has got a cool little package, and looks like Deshaun likes him a little bit, and they're doing some things with him in the backfield and handing it to him and trying to throw it to him.
What did you think of Ford, and do you think maybe they're built for the next guy to step in, kind of the way you were when Derek went down?
I think so. I mean, they gave him the ball in Cincinnati. He didn't have his – you know, it was effective of a game, but certainly a guy that you saw was tackled in the backfield and was able to make 9 yards out of being, you know, hit in the backfield at 4 yards, was able to stop, cut, change direction, and circle up the defense for a big momentum-changing play the other night. So would anticipate, you know, see what they do with Hunt coming in.
What's the key for wide receivers missing those deep passes? Like Burks and Moore were able to stack those guys. What's the key for wide receivers being able to do that?
Well, just still trying to be able to maintain your speed down the field and through contact, and you know, getting off the line of scrimmage. You know, I think a lot of that is timing, and you know, being able to get off the line of scrimmage and still run. I think Traylon was a little different than Chris's. Chris, there was, you know, a lot of contact there, so. Being able to track the ball and still maintain your speed.
Defensively, they're not giving much up through the air or on the ground.
Not a whole lot of anything,
yeah,
Kayla.
How challenging is that? How do you kind of game plan for that situation?
Trying to gain yards against a good defense, a bunch of good players, you know, on the road. Just making sure that, again, we're staying efficient, and they've had a, you know, 25 snaps of second and 8 or 9 plus, which, you know, leads to 3rd and 10 and 3rd and long. And, you know, guys are talented and, you know, playing fast. So just trying to stay ahead of the chains, and like we did the other day. And again, it wasn't perfect, but it was closer to what we want to look like.
I know that the grading that these analytics sites can put out are not necessarily gospel, but both weeks Chris Hubbard has seemed to grade out fairly well. How has he done in your eyes and at that right tackle spot?
You know, I think Chris has been efficient and has played some winning football, and you know, he's done some good things for us, and kind of, you know, like how he's come in here and worked and prepared, and love his attitude, and, you know, so again, it's off to a good start.
How's Garrett maybe different than what Chris has dealt with so far?
I don't think there's too many guys walking the earth like Miles Garrett, so we'll be in for a huge challenge.
Game planning against Deshaun, I know you guys are really familiar with him. Does he look relatively the same as he did when he was in division, or has his style changed at all over the last couple of years?
No, I don't think his style has changed. It, you know, extends plays. He's got strength and, you know, great play strength in the pocket to wait out receivers, to get them through to the second window. Extends plays. He's got length and, you know, stiff arm, and, you know, will scramble and can run to get what he needs to get to. He's got, can throw the ball to all parts of the field.
The Browns run defense, I believe they're tied with you guys for 3rd in the league. What is it about them that makes them so stout against the run?
Well, I mean, they gap up. I mean, they gap you up, and they attack, they penetrate, they run, they fast, they tackle. Safeties are, you know, good players. You know, Delpa, you know, has made a lot of tackles in and around the line of scrimmage. You know, but they force you to get into the line of scrimmage and to block them. You know,
when you're going against a run defense like that, that's so good. And how much do you factor in? Okay, I want to dictate what I want to do against them, regardless of the outcome. Or do you just look at it where you just kind of?
I don't want to throw the ball 50 times and, you know, think that we can beat the Browns by throwing it 50 times because they've got a good run defense. I mean, that wouldn't – I don't think that's the answer. But, you know, we'll have to stay balanced and have to set up plays and hope that they complement each other. But, you know, just because they're good against the run, I don't think we should pass it 50 times.
With Peter out, guard is a good spot for Dylan to kind of help you out. Is there a plan yet as to what his role could be after Peter's back with inside, outside?
No, I mean, I thought Dylan did a great job for his first action, and, you know, excited to see him continue to progress and, you know, get back out there and help us and play. And, you know, we'll see where things are tomorrow and see where things are on Friday and whenever anything else happens. I'm sure there'll be something else that happens between now and the time that Nick Petit, you know, comes back to play for us. Just a hunch.
How is Peter doing?
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Is there any hope that he can play Sunday, given what he went through?
I don't think that I wouldn't anticipate Peter being out there this week.
Well, maybe due to earning standard elevation call-ups the past couple of weeks and now earning a place on the 53.
He's very coachable. You know, he kind of knows who he is. He plays within himself, plays within the scheme. You know, he's, you know, technique and, you know, just kind of been a good addition here.
How are Hooker and Fulton progressing?
I think they'll both practice today. So better than what they were last week.
You guys have focused a ton on stopping the run here, obviously. How important is it that you've been able to pretty much do that in the first couple of weeks, and how important will it be to do that against Cleveland this week?
Well, it'll be important. You know, it'll always be important, but it's not, you know, we have to do a better job of, you know, the X plays on first and second down and, you know, the communication there. When it, not to say that stopping the run's not important, but, you know, we have to make sure that we're affecting the quarterback and, you know, making sure that guys are covered, you know what I mean, like they were at times, and then unfortunately just, you know, some X plays or some loose coverages.
Just, I guess, for clarification, does that mean Amani is clear protocol? And
Not officially. You know, there's a process to it that includes a practice or two before officially clearing, but he's cleared to practice.
Mike, when Jim Schwartz came here a couple years ago, kind of a unique role when you brought him in. Did that play out how you envisioned, you know, over the course of the 2 years, and how much of an impact did he have on the team?
Well, I think it did play out. You know, I thought it was something that, you know, we had great conversations. I thought that it had to be right for him. It had to be right for us. Make sure that it was, you know, in the role that he was looking for at that point in time in his career. You know, the impact, I think the impact was, you know, By everybody, you know, it was, you know, coaching staff, players, always appreciate, you know, what Jim provided to the coaches, to our staff, help on game day, you know, anything that we asked him to do, or, you know, Shane asked him to do, he did. Then he kind of started on, you know, wanted to transition or have an opportunity to coordinate again. And so he was honest and upfront with me, and him and I, we communicated, and then, you know, he had had a few opportunities, and, you know, he felt like this one was the right one for him, and the timing worked out. So I was happy for him that he was able to come here, stay involved, be, you know, help us, and then also now, you know, go and coordinate.
His familiarity with a lot of the defensive personnel, is that something that can be used against you guys, or is it, you know, sometimes it's easy to overthink when you think you know somebody too well?
You know, you'd have to ask Jim on whenever they have availability. I don't know.
They're holding, I think the number's 48.3% completions against them. What are they doing so well in pass defense?
They got a nose guard that sprints off the ball. They got a three technique that sprints off the ball. And they got two edge rushers that come flying in there. Mix a couple different coverages. And they got a bunch of good players over there. So it'll be a huge challenge.
You guys good?
Thanks. Appreciate you. Thanks.
All right, there you go. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. We will react to what he had to say, plus some injury updates there coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. DeMace joins the fold. How are we doing, DeMace?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Playing at PE day. At my niece's.
Playing four square and tetherball.
Yeah, we're playing, what did they call it? They called it castle, building a castle with these hula hoops. And you had to knock the castles down. So first it was a, you know, half of the kids and half of the parents were on one team. And then the second game, it was the parents versus the kids. And we won one. I think the moms let the kids win because they were supposed to be guarding the thing. I know our moms
those
can
pesky
get
moms.
Yeah, but then the second game, I was like, nah, we're not having this. We're winning.
Do
so
you
we won
feel
the second
like
game.
Your competitive player side come out when you do certain things?
Oh, of course. Like I'm not letting a kid win. I don't let kids win. I don't. Not anymore. I used to do that a long time ago.
Not anymore.
Now, kids hold on to that. You know, 10 years down the line, remember I beat you in this? I let you win. No, but I beat you. You can't let kids do that anymore.
I'll give you a case in point. My son Mahoney, every time he sees Shane Foster, he goes back to – Shane used to be great. We used to do a basketball camp for the station, and Mahoney was little, and he beat him in gotcha one time.
Mm-hmm.
Always
won't let it go.
Always remembers it. And Shane, you know Shane. Shane is a competitor. He does not like it. But he goes, I don't remember.
That's
I don't remember that.
Don't let little kids win anymore. Don't let them win anymore. Nope.
Yeah, just gaslight them. Yep, so, no, that did not happen.
We had a wonderful time. The parents, the kids, we had a wonderful time. So.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time. We just heard from Mike Vrabel up at the podium previewing the Cleveland Browns. Got some injury updates. So if someone could explain this to me.
Mm-hmm.
Amani Hooker has been cleared to practice but has not yet cleared concussion protocol. What does that mean? So
I guess it means
you can practice but not play.
They still got to monitor him.
Okay.
They still have to monitor him. It's not like, okay, you're clear, we don't even have to worry about you anymore. I think during practice or after every practice, he comes back in, they have him take tests, they monitor him, make sure, you know, he's not having any headaches, he's not sensitive to the light and everything else. So yes, he's cleared to practice, but he's still in the protocol. It's like, you know, listen, it's like rehab. Yes, you're cleared to do, you know, whatever it is you need to do, but you still got to do rehab.
You're
still
got to
come in. We still got to make sure everything is, you know, healing the way we want it to. So I guess that's the same way with the concussion protocol. Yes, you're still in the protocol, but you are cleared to practice.
Yeah, I would characterize it as you can't start to ramp up to play until you're cleared from the protocol. When you're cleared, then you can start the ramping up process. And if there's a setback along the way, then you go back into the...
Exactly.
And so hockey's the same way. Like, if you don't see a guy, that means he's not been cleared from the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
That if he's cleared, he can start to practice. But there is a process... Mm-hmm. You got to practice for a certain. You got to be symptom free for a certain amount. So there's still a checklist that you've got to go through. Yeah. But it's encouraging. It's encouraging that Hooker's back on the practice field. That's a good first step.
So he can go and ride the bike.
Yeah, he's probably.
Well, he can practice.
He's probably jogging. He's probably in.
He said he's cleared to practice.
They're not hitting anyway, so he's not going to hit anybody. Yeah. So yeah, he should be cleared to do just about everything. Because this is not like, you know, they're in pads and practicing. I think if they were in pads, then the team would sort of take him out of that just in case.
Christian Fulton also will be back out on the practice field today. I hate to be in this point with Christian Fulton, but
it's going to be a reoccurring thing all season.
And it's good to have him back.
Yeah.
With the way that the secondary looked and how Trey Avery just got picked and prodded apart by Justin Herbert last week, and you're facing a different offense.
Mm-hmm.
You're facing, you know, an offense that's not necessarily going to throw it 50 times a game like the Chargers did, or like the Chargers typically do, your opponent last week. But my thing with Christian Fulton, like, I hate being at this point, but it's just like when you have him, great, but You just don't have them enough.
Well, again, I've never heard somebody that had chronic hamstring problems say, I don't have hamstring problems anymore. He had to leave the game because of hamstring problems. It seemed like he was hampered by them when he came back in. What makes you think, you know, that he's going to be able to hold up the whole game, you know, this weekend?
I wouldn't be surprised.
To me, I just think they should go with McQuarrie at one, and then what is it? Button.
Trey Avery.
Well, Trey. No, oh, Trey Avery.
Bunting.
Yeah, Bunting.
Sean Murphy Bunting. Sean Murphy Bunting
yeah. on the other, and sprinkle Fulton in, you know, in nickel. But I wouldn't have him starting out as a starting quarter, not with a hamstring problem, because that one play where he pulls up could be a touchdown.
That's going to be tricky, right, to think of, because it's going to be in the back of Christian exactly. Fulton's mind to start with.
When
but
he started
all the
to
coaches,
open up.
Like, how long can I go with you? Herm Edwards had the – I love the Herm Edwards sayings. They always pop into my brain. I know you can start the game. Can you finish the game? Yeah. Like, I always ask my players, I know you can start the game. I know you feel good right now. Can you finish the game?
I just love Herm.
He's the best.
I love Herm.
But I do. What are we going to see from the Browns offense this week with no Nick Chubb? So you're going to game plan all week. Do you put more on Watson? Does that mean more passes from them? Or do you try a combination? Is Kareem Hunt going to be okay to play some plays? What about the guy that came in for it? He had a 70-yard run. It almost got to the one-inch line. It's a heck of a run. So do they – Their offense is predicated on run first. Mm-hmm. Do we see them evolve out of necessity? I think there's a little bit of mystery there.
I don't think they will. I think they believe, because that offensive line is good, even though they, you know, lost Conklin, who was their all-pro tackle, and I think they end up losing another offensive lineman, if I'm not mistaken.
And the Browns.
But still.
Decimated.
This is what they do. They run the football, and they were stable. They're still able to run it effectively against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that front of Pittsburgh is pretty good. Not like the Titans front, but is a good front. So I don't see Cleveland deviating too much from what they do offensively. They went out and got Kareem Hunt. I'm sure he will get about 10 to 15 plays in this game. But they're going to ride forward. And, that's just like the Titans. When Derrick Henry went down, it ain't like they said we're abandoning the run. Right. They kept running it.
They kept doing the same offense.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So expect Cleveland to continue to do what they've been doing and running the football, because I damn sure wouldn't put my faith in Deshaun Watson winning me a ball game, not the way he's looked.
No.
And I've said this before. I've said this constantly about him. I said it when he was in Houston. It just seems like he doesn't have a sense of urgency. Like, he's lethargic. Like, he's somewhere, like, mentally he's somewhere else. Like, everybody else is moving fast, and he's moving slow. It just didn't start this season. It started when he was in Houston. If you watched him in certain plays, certain series, he just, for whatever reason, everybody else going fast, he's going slow.
Well, we'll continue the conversation coming up next, and of course get to your phones on the Brown. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Hey, join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and D. Mace at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our award-winning NFL pregame show. They will break down the Titans' Week 3 road matchup against the Browns and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze. Hey, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 4 of college football and week 3 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So a few injury updates from Mike Vrabel. Monty Hooker is cleared to practice but not cleared out of protocol, so he cannot play on Sunday until he is cleared from concussion protocol. Christian Fulton is back out on the practice field, which is encouraging for the secondary, but still, we've been here before with Christian Fulton.
Take it day by day.
Day by day. Also, Peter Skoronski. We knew that he was out last week against the Chargers. He had an appendectomy. Mike Vrabel said, don't expect Peter to be out there. Mm. What does that mean for the offensive line?
Same thing it meant last week.
The Raiden show. Yeah.
these guys got to step up, and Dylan Raidens is the guy that is going to be playing in his place. You know, Dylan Raidens didn't do great, but he wasn't horrible. I mean, it was a slight upgrade when he came in the game, but there were still, you know, more than a handful of situations where, you know, he just didn't, you know, do the job that he was supposed to do. And I think a lot with Raidens is he gets contact. He gets that initial hit or thud, but he doesn't stay on his man. There were several times where he gets that, where he's pulling or he's blocking down, where he gets that one initial hit, but he doesn't sustain the block. And as an offensive lineman, that's where you start to separate the good ones from the great ones. Now, his first two plays, he had pancakes. I know the first one he had a pancake, and then he had another one. It might have been a couple of plays later or another on the subsequent – series after the one he came in. But there were moments where he played well. There was moments that he didn't. And, again, a lot of it to me is sustaining your block. That initial hit is not going to do the job. You got to get on your guy, make that initial hit, and then sustain it. That's his problem. He's not sustaining blocks. Guys are getting off that initial hit, and then they're making tackles or they're getting involved with the tackle.
I've thought about this. Degree of difficulty of the fronts that they have tried to block. Again, trying to evaluate how, you know, is this offensive line, is there hope, right? One of their better guys, I think Skoronski is a promising guy, right?
Okay, I think he's the best part of the line.
I mean, we've had some absolute in this city bad first round picks. Like, oh my goodness, what were they thinking? In retrospect, it looks like he's tracking pretty well, Skoronski, but now he's out. So they have survived the Saints, who I heard this stat this morning. It kind of blew me away. 10 straight games for the Saints where they have not allowed more than 20 points. In the last eight, they've been 18 or less. Mm-hmm. They've only allowed one touchdown in the two games so far. So that's a pretty good defensive team that they were trying to block. Then the Chargers, I mean, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, they got some people there. That's their defense as a whole hasn't been good, but those are talented guys they're blocking. This might be the best one, though. A buddy of mine who's a Browns fan texted me this. The Browns defense has allowed 14 first downs in the first two games. Total. Not an average of 14. Mm-hmm. 14 first downs in two games facing the Bengals and then the Steelers. The league average is 36. So this has been this is a challenge here. Are we thinking like first team to 13 might win this game?
That could be the possibility.
Very well could be.
Yeah. This Cleveland team is they're only giving up 14 points a game. I think the Titans are a little bit behind them in regards to points. They may be giving up like 17 or 18. The Titans are somewhere around there. But this team is the second-ranked defense in the National Football League, giving up 65 yards rushing and only 133 yards passing. They played a really good front the first week, and the secondary was good. And we saw, you know, what happens when you play sort of this complete defense with the Titans. The next following week against the Chargers, you play a team that has a good front, but their back end is bad. And the Titans were able to expose them in that. Now you're playing another team like New Orleans that is good on the back end and even better up front. Mm-hmm. This is where the Titans' play calling gets creative. This is where, again, Ryan Tannehill, if you got an opportunity to make a play, you got to make that play. There's no way to get it back because you against this defense, you may not ever get it back. And you just hope that the game stays close enough, which I think it, and believe it will, that your defense gives you – because I believe in the Titans' offense more than I believe in Cleveland's offense. Hmm. I would take Ryan Tannehill right now over Deshaun Watson. And that, to me, is the difference.
So the Browns gave up 3 points to the Bengals. And, of course, if you watch the Monday Night Football game, a lot of people probably did, 2 defensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
So the only big play – now, you can say, well, what is the Steelers' offense right now? I'm not really sure. But the one play to Pickens
– yeah, down
right,
the middle, blown coverage.
71 yards. Like, yeah. Take – I mean, you, these yards count, right? A lot of people say, well, take the 2 big plays away. Well, those big plays are everything.
Exactly.
Those plays are huge. But that was really the only blemish. Otherwise, there were a ton of drives where the Steelers looked lost. They couldn't get anything going. It looked like a Pop Warner game. It was a mismatch. You know, they couldn't run at all. I'm curious if they can get better running action than the Bengals and Steelers, who are not, I would say, great running teams. Like the Titans, they build their team on good running game, whether it's Spears or Henry here. But this is a great test. Can they get some what they need from the running game to set up the passing game?
And honestly, when I was watching that Monday Night Football game and I saw how the Steelers won it, they won it because of their defense. Not just stopping what Cleveland did, but because of the opportunities that the defense created. I think back to how Vrabel harps on all the time. Not just limiting turnovers offensively, but forcing turnovers defensively. Because they got the interception against the Saints, which I think that was more of a Derek Carr thing than it was the Titans defense thing. Maybe that's the formula to beating the Browns. Because I don't feel good about this Titans offensive line. Like, Trevor Maddich was on with Jared yesterday, and he talked about how, yeah, like Raiden's looked fine, but Raiden's looked better than Xavier Newman, who gave up let a Chargers defender walk in untouched to just pummel Ryan Tannehill. So I don't feel good about the line, especially most likely without Peter Skoronski. Mm-hmm. I don't feel good about the line, period, much less going up against Myles freaking Garrett and this Cleveland Browns defensive front. What makes me feel confident, one, is the fact that I don't think the Browns' offense is very good, but two, is the Titans' defense. How this feels like one of those games, like maybe the Rams game in 2021, when the defense, they didn't have Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill didn't do anything super special, but the defense created turnovers, created opportunities, really got the team going. I feel like that's going to be what the Titans are going to have to do against the Browns, is just defensive firepower.
Back alley grinder.
Old grinder.
Yeah, it has the potential to be it. It just, you know, I know for Cleveland's sake, they hope that their quarterback sort of gets it together. And now that Chubb is out, but this team is, they do exactly what the Titans do up front. Because they have, you know, two guys, Adarius Smith and Myles Garrett, that can get to the passer. You don't have to blitz. So with Schwartz, even though Schwartz is a, you know, I think is his background, he wants to blitz. He wants to be multiple. But he has the benefit of a Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith, where I don't have to blitz. And their linebackers are damn good as well. So they got a front four that can get to the quarterback without blitzing, which helps a back end that's already good. Like, these guys can cover on the back end. If the Titans had their back end, the Browns back end, this would be a team that I would pick to make it to the AFC Championship game. The Titans would be. But because they don't have that secondary, it's everything is predicated on what the defensive line does. Well, with Cleveland, they got a damn good defensive line, but their back end is good as well. So the Titans are going to try to muddy this up as much as they possibly can and sort of stick with the formula that they had last week, the play action pass, playing both running backs. I think you will see more Spears this game because of that defensive front. They need some speed on the field. So I think you'll see more of Spears this week than you did last week. Not to say that Derrick Henry is going to, like, get 30% of the plays, but I think you're going to see a little bit more of what Spears can do against this Browns defense.
Well, let's get into that coming up next. Mm-hmm. The healthy balance between Tajay Spears and Derrick Henry, and what does that look like? Win that on the other side. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 4 of college football and week 3 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
When is this story going to go away?